And take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. This is the Christmas time, and you know, this is time that you might see on a bumper sticker, "Keep Christ in Christmas." But I have a more fundamental thing. To keep Christ in Christmas, Christians need to keep Christ in us. And so tonight, my message is on the name Jesus. It kind of goes off of what we were talking about today. And we're looking at one verse. Verse 21, we used it this morning. It said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." Over the next couple of sermons, we're going to go and kind of piece together the Christmas story. This morning we looked at Isaiah and we saw some of the Christmas prophecies about the virgin birth and his name. About John the Baptist. About Christ's life and his crucifixion. And his coming kingdom. But tonight we're going to look at the Joseph and Mary. But more importantly, Jesus. And folks, Jesus is the most important figure in our life. He needs to be our Savior. He needs to be our Lord. He needs to be our Master. That's how you keep Christ in Christmas. You keep Christ in the center of your life. So basically we have, you know the story. We have Joseph and Mary, and they're about to get married. They're engaged to each other. And they're working on all those preparations, and the day is approaching, and it was exciting. But then we know what happens. Before they got married and before they came together, the Bible says that Mary was found with child from the Holy Ghost. And that's a hard thing to accept on Joseph's part. You know, it really took a lot of belief. You talk about the faith of Mary, but the faith of Joseph is significant. Because faith allows you to believe the unbelievable. Faith allows you to trust in others. Faith and love allow you to get beyond what other people would cause the fault. And other people knew it. Because we know later on in Jesus' ministry, they came up and said, "We not be born of fornication." And so there was rumor and innuendo about Mary's child all the way through this. And so we know that angel comes to Joseph because he was contemplating about putting her away, giving her a bill of divorce, of divorcement. But then in verse 18 it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, being her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." You know, in a couple of verses here, we see some big detail. That the lineage of Christ, in an earthly sense through Joseph, was to the house of David. The lineage for Mary was through the house of David. And that could just get overlooked in this time. But God does not overlook anything. So we're going to talk about the name Jesus. And I find it interesting that in your Bible you probably see Jesus as all capitals. You know, we've seen the Lord all in capitals, and that's the highest name for God. This four consonants, which God interpreted as Yahweh. You know, Jesus is God. He is all God. And He is all man. So tonight we're going to look at the name Jesus. And the first of all is the origin of the name. The origin of the name. You know, Moses seems to have originated the name under the inspiration of God. And I'll show you this in a minute. The nation of Israel has been going through the wilderness. They're coming to the promised land. They're sending out the 12 spies. One of them was Hosea. Another was Caleb. And we can see here in Numbers chapter 13, verses 8 through 16, we see the list of the names. And in verse 8 it says this, of the tribe of Ephraim, Hosea, the son of Nun. But the issue is that in these names, you know, there is something in a name. You know, we name our children after important either people or maybe someone in our family, or in the biblical times they named them for characteristics. And Hosea here equals salvation. It means salvation. So you go on in Numbers chapter 13, you see the list of this, and then you get to down to verse 16. And in verse 16 it says, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hosea, the son of Nun, Yehoshua. Now that is not by accident. See, God is in control. God is sovereign here. And what we have here is, you know, Yahshua is taking the first part of Jehovah and then Joshua's name, Hosea, and putting it together. And now it just doesn't mean salvation. It means the fundamental truth of the Bible. It is God's salvation. It is not our salvation. It is not in the name that we give. It's in the name that God gives. And so we see that Joshua's name is changed. And folks, everything in our life with God should be changed. And so then we go and we see that actually Jesus is actually Yeshua, okay? Or Joshua. But now when we go back and we look at that, why would Moses say that under the inspiration of God? Well, because Joshua or Yeshua is a type or a picture of Christ. See, he came out of Egypt. All of them were born into slavery. And there was no different for Joshua. He was born into slavery and exalted to eventually be the ruler of the people. See, God can take someone who's nothing and make them somebody. But only God can do that. There are no self-made men. There's only God-made men and women. But we see in Christ, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a what? Servant or a bondslave, and was made in the likeness of men. See, we talk about keeping Christ in Christmas. Folks, our lives should be a reflection of Christ. We are all born into the slavery of sin. And then we're taken out for God's salvation. Joshua is a type of picture of Christ. Followed the rule of Moses. He had to follow the same laws that Moses got from God. But then he found grace. Do you think it was just an accident that Joshua was picked out of the tribe of Ephraim? You think they had a ballot? You think they had a vote? No. God told Moses to pick these guys because of their faith. In John chapter 1, verse 17, it says, for the law was given by Moses, But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we see in this origin of the name, and we talked about this yesterday. I was counseling, and we were talking about the Old Testament. I said that everything in the Old Testament points to the New Testament. And the reason we have the books of the Bible that we have is because they all have one thing in common. In each book of the Bible, Jesus is there. The promise of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the prophecy of Jesus, it's all there. And that's why we have this. Because this whole book talks about Jesus. Talks about Jesus. So Joshua is a type, a picture of Christ, was that he led a wandering people from the wilderness to Canaan. You know, oftentimes we see, well, in Christ's ministry, you know, he says that he looked on the multitudes and had compassion on them because he said that they were what? Scattered abroad and having no shepherd. Folks, leaders are born for the moment. They are made for a specific task. Our Savior was born as a man for our salvation. And it was for the moment. In Luke chapter 1 verse 79 talks about Jesus. And Simeon is, talk about John the Baptist here. And then talking about Jesus, about Mary's child had been born. And it says to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. See, we need to be taken out of wandering in our life, getting nowhere, and get put in God's position, in God's presence to be somewhere. So Joshua is a type of Christ, was led a wandering people from wilderness to Canaan. He led successfully over Jordan instead of Moses. You know why? Moses couldn't do it. You know why? He fell short. One mistake kept him from going to the promised land. Think about that, folks. One sin keeps us out of heaven. Only one. We have to be perfect, and we can't be that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, Moses, a great leader, used by God. But boy, if you do something out of God's will, there's judgment coming. He got to see it, but he didn't get to possess it. And we find Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 basically believing in the promise of who? Christ. But Christ in Romans chapter 8 verse 3 says this. It says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. See, Christ can keep you from wandering. Christ can lead you to where He wants you to go. But we need to follow. He kept on saying to the crowd, follow me, follow me, follow me. We know the story. He led them across Jordan. There comes a first town called Jericho. And they had to go and build a whole bunch of battery rams and trebuchets and catapults and seize the thing and starve them out. Nope. They just walked around the city God's way, and God gave them the victory. See, walls fall down before God when you do it God's way. Walls fall down between you and God. He takes away the enmity or the enemy of our flesh and gives us peace with God. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14, it says, for He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. Basically saying it doesn't matter if you are Gentile or you are Jew, Greek or Roman, bond or free, young or old, man or woman. All those differences that we have. Folks, we need a new awakening. There are too many differences in the body of Christ today. And God breaks down the middle. We're supposed to be ministers of reconciliation. It says, He is our what? Peace. If you don't have peace in God tonight, get it. We need it. Remember what the angel said? And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Joshua, the type of picture of Christ, walls fell down before him. And then lastly, he led his people to victory. You know, the only battle they lost was when there was sin in the camp. Are we winning our battles? Are we losing our battles? There's only one reason. It's us. So he led his people to victory, just like Christ gives us victory. But thanks be to God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, it says, But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's something in a name. And we need to look at the origin of the name. The origin of Jesus came from God Himself. He told Moses to change his name. Change his name from Hosea to Yeshua. Secondly, the impact of the name Jesus. Because it was given to Christ. See, Yeshua or Joshua was a common name. We study in the book of Zechariah that the high priest, his name was Joshua. There's other names there. And it was a common name back then. And you know, a lot of people copy famous names. And maybe it's because they think that if I give somebody a famous name that they'll be famous. No. You make your name for your testimony. Your name doesn't automatically guarantee you have a testimony. There's a lot of people named Jesus today. And I would say that the bulk of them are not holy. I would say that the bulk of them do not live righteous lives. It's not who you call yourselves, it's who you are. See, you can try to imitate Christ, but you'll never get there because we're not God. Satan tries to do it. He tries to do everything to copy, but he's going to fall short. See, it was a common name back there, but you know something? Christ can make the common uncommon. See, we need to take and start saying things are not just routine. We need to make them exciting again. Church needs to be engaging. Church needs to be relevant. Church needs to be inclusive. See, Christ made the common uncommon. He took everything in a new direction. Up to this point, he said, everybody said, we got to do what the scribes and the Pharisees say. We got to do that. We got to keep the law. We got to keep the sacrifice. We got to keep the feast. And then Christ comes along. And his very first message in the temple was what? He reads the book of Isaiah. He says, God has sent me, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the brokenhearted, to free the captives, to give sight to the blind. He says, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. What? Folks, there is no status quo with Jesus. He's going to take your common life and turn it into something that's glorifying to Him. He takes us in a new direction. If you claim to be a Christian and you're going the same way you were before you became a Christian, there's something wrong. God needs to change you. You need to get saved, maybe. Or you need to turn back to Him. and get a new awake and get and awaken your conscience again. So Christ made the common unkind. He took things in a new direction. The name fulfilled God's promise to those waiting. Now, if you go on in Luke chapter 2, after 8 days, after the shepherds and everything, and Mary ponders the things in her heart, after 8 days they take Christ to the temple to circumcise him. You know why? Because Christ fulfilled all the law. And they were going to do, Joseph and Mary were entrusted to doing the right thing, and they did. If we were Joseph and Mary, would we have done the right thing? Would our faithfulness that we have to our church be sufficient to do the things that God would need? Think about that. So there's an old man by the name of Simeon. And he's told, and later on around verse 20 of chapter 2, he said that the Holy Spirit came and said he would not see death until he had seen the Christ child. And then in verse 30 of chapter 2 of Luke, he's holding God in the flesh. What an awesome privilege. What an awesome privilege to hold God in your hands. You know why? Because he believed in the promise. You know why? It changed his life. And folks, if you believe in the promises of God and it changes your life, God will allow you to be his hands and feet. He'll allow you to he'll live through you. And Simeon's holding the Christ child. And he says this. He says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Folks, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels. And my question to you tonight, what does the name of Jesus mean to you? Does it mean an awesome privilege? Does it mean something to change your life? To make you different? The name fulfilled God's promise to those waiting. The name meant healing to the helpless. We studied the book of Matthew, and Ronnie is going through the book of Matthew. And one of the things is that Jesus left Galilee and he went to the coast of Tyre and Sidon, Lebanon. And when he comes into that area, he meets a Syrophoenician woman or a Canaanite. And her daughter is vexed by a devil. And there's nothing the woman could do. But she heard of Jesus. She heard of that name. And she went to him. And we know the story about it's not meet to give this to the dogs. But her faith said, "I'm not going to take that answer. I'm going to keep on staying in Jesus' presence." And as she approaches Jesus in verse 23 of Matthew 15, it says, "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." See, God helps the helpless. If there's no hope, God gives hope. If there's no salvation, God gives salvation. If there's no direction, God gives light to your path. Oh, the name meant healing to the helpless. And then he says, "Thy faith has made your daughter whole. Go in peace." Go in peace. See, has the impact on the name of Jesus caused a new direction in your life? Has the impact on the name of Jesus caused you to realize God's promises in your life? Has the impact of Jesus, the name, changed the helpless states that we have in our life? And I'm sure that we all go through those. The name that meant destruction to the demons. I find it very interesting that the first beings that acknowledged God in his ministry were the demons. You know why? Because they saw him in heaven. They knew who he was. And they recognized him standing in front of them. This is the two demon-possessed people with the legion. And in Matthew 8:29 says, "Behold, they cry out, saying, 'What have we to do with thee?'" What? Jesus. God's salvation. They were hopelessly lost. They were hopelessly condemned to hell because they rebelled against God. "Thou Son of God, art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" See, the demons and the devil know more about God's word than we do. They know that judgment's coming. Do we? Do we? And look at the impact. As soon as Jesus arrives, they say, "Oh, whoa, wait a minute. We know who you are. We know who you are." Oh, it's a name that meant destruction to the demon. You know something? The name of Jesus should give us victory in our life. Satan should have no place or no power in our lives at all. Walking down the road, there's 10 lepers. There's 10 lepers, and all they can do is have a mask on, yelling, "Unclean, unclean." They can't be with your families. They have to be isolated. Sound familiar? Now, it was a true disease, and it was contagious, and that's the way they did this. But the issue is this. There is no known cure at that time for leprosy. It had to be an act of God. In Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 13, it says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" And you know what happened? All 10 of them were cleansed. And you know the rest of the story, only one came back and worshiped God. Are we one of the 10? Or are we just like the other 9? God does all these wonderful things for us and then we don't give him the acknowledgement. The name is life. In him was life. And his life was the what? Light of men. So as God made, as Christ, the name of Jesus made an impact on your life. Lastly, the name Jesus meant resurrection to the dead. We know the story. Lazarus, been dead 4 days. Mary and Martha are there. And Jesus comes and he's already dead. And he said, "Well, your brother will rise again." He says, "Yeah, I know that's the last day." And then Jesus says this. He says, "Jesus said unto her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.'" And we know what else happened. That gave the crowd something to think about. What kind of impact has Jesus made on your life? Has he made an impact to change your direction? Has he changed? Has he healed you? Has he given you hope? Has he given you help? Do you see his promises? See, it's the same name that brings salvation today. You know, one of the big things about Christmas is all the traditions. How many have a family tradition? Okay, yeah, we all have a family tradition. Okay? But the issue is that there's a danger of Christmas is that we settle in for the traditions instead of the real meaning behind it. And people will come on Christmas Day and they'll come on Easter Day and they think that they did God's service. Well, I go to church twice a year. Well, where's that showing faith? Not showing faith at all. See, Christ kept on talking about it. It's not about tradition. It's about a name. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name or none other way under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. See, what we really need to do is we need to get past the tinsel of Christmas and get right to the truth of it. In order to keep Christ in Christmas, you need to keep Christ in your life. And if Christ is in our life, then Christ will be in our church. And if Christ will be in our church, then we can make the difference because we're different. In John chapter 8, verse 32, a memory verse, a couple of weeks ago. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
Folks, we need to live free in His grace. So we see the origin of the name. We see the impact of the name because it was given to Christ by God Himself. And then we need to understand the importance of the name that Jesus has in the future. The name Jesus is associated with the coming resurrection for us. Not just for Lazarus, but for all of us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, it talks about, it's another rapture verse. But in verse 14 it says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. I can't wait to see Max again.
Amen.
I can't wait to see all those that went on before. John. And then all the other Old Testament saints. You know, that's hope. That's hope. Name's important. Because Christ Himself says, I am the resurrection and the life. The name of Jesus is equal to judgment. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, it says, "And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." I have a question for you. Is everything that we do surrendered to Jesus today? Or are we still holding on to something? We're going to have to do it one day. Everybody is going to do it. And it should not be that the Christian has a hard heart or a hard neck or is stubborn or is unwilling to do God's will or doesn't want to do God's word. I don't understand it. He's our salvation. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our Master. Are we doing this now? And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everyone is going to talk about Jesus one day. But folks, we need to be talking about Jesus right now. And I want to encourage you to witness for Christ. It is the power of salvation. It's the whole purpose we're here. It's the reason we get saved. Is to understand that judgment is coming and to be like John the Baptist and say, He's coming. We need to be saying, He's coming. It's the same message. Judgment is coming. And the only way that you can avert it is to receive Jesus as your Savior. Is that important to you? Is that important to you that you will share the gospel with someone else? Or is that on your priority list? See, the name of Jesus is associated with the coming resurrection. The name of Jesus is associated with judgment. The name of Jesus and future events. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The first verse says, a revelation of who?
Jesus
Christ. Which God gave unto Him. To show unto His, who?
Servants.
Who is that, folks?
That's
us. Things which must shortly come to pass. Folks, it's time that we need to start living in the light of His coming back. This was written thousands of years ago. We're a lot closer today. And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, the last verse, last chapter. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. I am everything that I said I am. I am, I am. And we need to follow Him. Oh, is Jesus important in your life? Does He have an impact on your life? Does He have an origin in your life? I.e., have you been saved? See, what we need to do is we need to understand that it's the name that will help us today. It's the name that will help us today. Why the babe was to be called Jesus? Because He would save His people from His sins. Joseph must have been overwhelmed when he heard that. But it changed his direction. It changed his mindset from putting her away to being her husband. It changed his mindset from saying, I'm just going to treat her like the rest of the world, and then I'm going to follow what God's law says and do all the things. God knew that. See, God knows what you're capable of doing. The question is whether or not you want to do it. It was cleansing for Joseph, and it's cleansing for us. He will save us from our sins. Have you been saved from your sins today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, today is the day. To now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't harden your hearts. Don't harden your necks. But open your heart to Him. And let's surrender all to Him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for this opportunity, Lord, to come and surrender to You. Lord, I ask to be with this time of invitation, Lord. Search our hearts, Lord, and help us to be obedient to You. Help You to make an impact in our life. And help us, Lord, make You important. Father, forgive us, Lord, of the things that make us stray away, Lord, from Your presence. And help us to follow You and worship You in spirit and truth. We ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen.